Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Pezzo this morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
Good.
It's nice and cool.
It is about time, right?
Yes. I don't like 100 degree temperatures anymore.
No. I very much enjoy fall in Boise, but we are also heading into October, the month of change. Everyone talks about it and says that it's going to be a down month, but that's not necessarily so. But before we get into that, phone calls are always welcome, 208-580-KIDO, 580-5436, or you can also email me at jstone@petsofinancial.net. Wow, what a week.
Yeah, not a great week.
No, it's not. You know, it's interesting. Dave was just commenting on the segment he put on with Kevin this Monday and saying there's absolutely no reason the market should go up. So I think we blame him for this.
Yeah, because there is absolutely no chance it did.
No. But it is interesting, you know, when you look at the way that the market tends to go. Years that we don't expect it to, the peak of pessimism, everything that we talk about all the time, definitely is feeling it right now. But the interesting thing is if we stretch this out and not just look at this year, of course, has been rough. We've had year-to-date returns that are in bear market territory and even below. The middle of June, we kind of had, I guess, the dead cat bounce because we did go ahead and jump up and then fall right back down again. We looked Thursday and said, wow, the Dow could drop below 30. Sev definitely overachieved on Friday.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you look back and you go further than that, over the last 5 years, so 2018 through 2021, the market has been in pretty much double-digit returns other than 1 year, which was in 18. It was down only 4.5%.
Yeah. Extremely double-digit.
Yeah.
Over 20.
Yep. And, I mean, who would have thought the year of a pandemic in 2020 that we would end that year after being down as over 30%, up 18.5% on the S&P?
Yeah, and that's when they shut the whole economy down. So it's compared to now when the economy's still going right along.
Right. Right. And then are we in a recession? Are we going into a recession? Possibly. But what does that matter? So what we were talking about, and we'll talk more on this as we go into the next hour, but what is your why? When you decided to invest the very first dollar that you put in, what was the reason for doing so? And if the market has a normal, always will occur correction that we do over and over again for the rest of our lives. Everyone talks about it. Everyone knows this is going to happen. What changed that? So if your why was that you were going to retire when you were 55 years old and you have a normal correction, did that why change?
Exactly. So it's when people come in or whatever, they always say, I know the market goes up and it goes down. And I understand that. I'll do that. But it's easier to say that than to live through it when it goes down and say, remember, you knew it was going to go down. Yeah, I know. But I didn't know we were going to be dealing with
whatever.
Fill in the blank.
Yes. And every time it's different, right? Everyone can say we're not confident in anything going on right now. And, you know, we can all sympathize with that. I mean, I'm not overly confident in what we're doing politically either. It's an interesting time that way, too. But I do know that if you made the decision 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that this is the time I'm going to start investing because I want to be financially independent. I want to be an owner of the greatest corporations of the world. I want to take advantage of being independently wealthy by doing the right thing today. Why is it when you have this correction, you don't want to do what you said, which is, wow, if I can get Amazon on a discount of 25%, I am going to load up. Okay, why aren't you doing it?
Right.
What changed to make you decide that your why is now different? Is it you thought the market never goes down because the last 5 years has pretty much shown that? So you think, well, now it's never going to change. We also talked about this in the last decade of stocks, right? When the 2000s, when nothing was going up. If the average is 10, and it is amazing. We ran more and more numbers that Tom will share with you too. Mm-hmm. It does always pull to 10. So why is it that if we haven't done 10, we don't expect great returns? And then when we have great returns, we don't expect some downtime to bring that mean down.
Yeah, it's really incredible that we get so short-sighted into what is today and now that we don't stretch it out like you're saying and look at what's happened in the past, even though sometimes we always say it, the past doesn't predict the future. But over and over and over it happens. It's just like the sun has come up every morning since the beginning of time. But this time, I'm not sure if it's going to happen or not. You know,
right.
We're betting against something that's always happened, but... We're saying, nah, this time it's different. it isn't going to work like it has in the past.
Right. And then you throw around all the things that everyone's worried about, and that's a reason not to invest. But if you really look at the recessions and how the market reacts, of course, it doesn't like them. But I think what it doesn't really like is the uncertainty. But when we look at the certain to occur corrections that we have, we also start to pull into doing things that we know we shouldn't do. So if you hear something that sounds too good to be true, all of a sudden it rings more true. Like, you can participate in the market and not lose. Or there's ways to do things through options or life insurance or whatever may come out that gives you that feeling of security when things are rough. But if you go back to the why you invested, this should not change anything other than these are opportunistic times for people that are putting money into their 401ks. If you're dollar cost averaging and you get down markets, this is the time where you get way more shares. Like Dave says, you're buying gravel to build your dam, right? Do you want to pay more for it or do you want to pay less? This is the time that you really load up on great investments. You buy the greatest corporations of the world, because we're not all, I mean, everyone says, how do you get wealthy? Well, you become a business owner, you create something, you do something unique. Very few people do that. But the amazing thing with the market is those people that are brilliant, the Jeff Bezos, I don't care if you like him or you don't, he's a brilliant guy for what they come up with, right? Elon Musk of the world, all these people that created those things that we now use every single day, you can be an owner and participate in great businesses by just buying stocks in those companies. But instead, we don't want to do that. We want to run the other way because temporarily prices have come down. Mm-hmm. It's such a psychological thing.
Yeah, it is. And it is such a conundrum for people because they're so afraid of losing that they'll sacrifice gains to not lose, right? Mm-hmm. And then just like, but if you stretch this out, you're going to win. But I don't want to lose today. Right. But so therefore, I'm going to give up what I could get in the future. And it's really interesting.
It is. And we've looked at returns over and over again. And a lot of people have actually doubled since 2016 on investments. So you have $500,000, it turns into $1 million, and you come down to 800 and you don't like the market. Mm-hmm. It's crazy,
it's
right?
It's all changed now. It isn't going to work anymore.
It isn't. And why we don't understand that we will always have volatility. We can't always lock in the high and not have some of the low. And there is no crystal ball. As much as we want to say we saw this coming, you know, I never thought in a million years 2020 would have recovered like it did. There was no reason for it to, but it did.
We were sitting right there going, we have no idea.
Mm-mm. And it was an interesting time, of course. It was quite an experience for or experiment for everyone on how to handle it. But what I'm saying is always go back to the why. Why did you decide to invest and what are you trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. Right. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. But before we do, let's just go to the phones. Good morning, Jim.
Hello, Jennifer and Tom. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thanks. You know, this... Anyway, these days is to me rather interesting how, you know, financial people, you know, try to hang in the you're playing defense, and it's kind of, I don't know, interesting. But
Well, they're trying to say, you know, we talk about playing prevent defense, which usually means you prevent the win, right? If you're going into a game, you should always try to win.
For one thing, well, yeah, you want to win, but not like BSU used to, you know. BSU would win. If they only won by 30 points, it was ho-hum, you know. And so people get rather spoiled. But for one thing, I don't look at the statement. Now, the biggest thing for anybody is not to be in debt. If you're not in debt, you have no problems, you know. I mean, it's all on paper anyway. If it goes up, down, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, you know, and people, they can adjust their lifestyle if they need to. I mean, people get money, then they blow it and spend it and do stupid things and maybe, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
They just need to adjust and... So anyway, how you guys been doing?
We're good.
Good.
Yeah, we're surviving through this.
I presume you weren't invited to go with Dave to North Carolina.
You know, no. I tried to invite myself, and it didn't work out.
No.
I opened up and said I had time, and he said no.
I know. But, you know, we're holding down the fort, so that works for us, too.
Doesn't Tom usually coach some sort of a soccer game this time of year?
No, not anymore. That was football, but I'm retired.
His son's gotten old enough now that he actually – is now he's going to try wrestling, right?
Yeah, he's going to give that a shot. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, I'm going to make a comment about that. You know, you talk about this professional wrestling. Well, mm-hmm. that is not wrestling. Now, wrestling is a real sport, mm-hmm. which they do not do.
That's acting.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's totally acting.
Yeah, it's entertainment.
Yep.
Yeah, it's absolutely BS, you know. And, I mean, wrestling is a real sport, and they get slammed when they talk about that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right,
anyway,
Jim.
Anyway, like I say, I don't even look at my statement.
Yeah, and that's, so, you know, that's an okay thing right now, especially if you get what you need and focus on, we always say focus on the income. If you're hitting the objective of getting an income that you need every month, the price doesn't matter when it's temporarily down.
Yeah, you know, I'm waiting for the day when Boeing will start paying a dividend again.
That would be good.
Yeah, so are we.
That'll be.
Yep. All right, Jim,
well,
have a wonderful weekend.
I just called in to say hi. And
we appreciate it.
Have a great weekend. And it may be the last, well, it's supposed to be sunny for the next 7 or 8 days.
Yep, so. But nice sunny, not a scorching hot sunny.
Right.
All right, go enjoy your weekend, Jim. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what is your why and share some historical data that we think maybe will put things in a better perspective, too, in this short-term volatility. Give us a call, 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Pezzo today. Phone number is 580-KIDO. I always want to put that backwards. Or 580-5436. If you would prefer to email, we will be checking those as well. jstone@pezzofinancial.net. So, you know, it's such an interesting time right now, right? We have a lot of calls about what they should do, how they should react. Have a few people, the last time the Dow did drop below 30 this year, had people adding money to the investments, slowly changing and saying, hey, you know, I want to make it an opportunity. Haven't felt that much this time. Mm-hmm. I think people are getting a little bit more cautious. So then it is, well, should I wait? Should I build up some cash? You know, I want to maybe wait till the market gets a little bit better and then put the money in. And you can hear why people say that, right? They feel like, why am I pouring good money at bad? I make my monthly contribution and my accounts down more than what I just put in. So I constantly feel like it's a losing game and I'm never, ever going to get out of this. So if I just built up my cash and set it aside until the market feels better, then I'm going to go ahead and invest. But the thing about that is exactly what you don't want to do. When you feel better, the market is, of course, high.
Yeah, and you've missed it. Mm-hmm. And when inflation is high and you're sitting on cash, you're just losing money on that cash daily, mm-hmm. guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And so it is really interesting that people will say, well, I understand. I understand what you're saying about that time in the market. I don't want to do that. But I just want to wait until things get a little bit better.
Right.
I mean, it's
right.
always that same thing of that two-sided coin.
It is. It is. And the whole thing of, you know, this time it might just be different. It may not come mm-hmm. back.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing, too, we've talked to people that actually banks are starting to pay a little bit of interest now. So then they're like, well, I can get 1.5 at the bank. So mm-hmm. why would I put it in the market when it just mm-hmm. goes down every day?
Mm-hmm.
So think about it differently, though. Try to figure the way of buying things on sale. And I know it's simple and everybody says, yeah, I get it. I understand. But do you when it really happens? So dollar cost average. Keep mm-hmm. putting your contributions in. Don't stop.
Right. That's the worst thing to do mm-hmm. is to stop doing that.
Because when things feel better, the market will be a lot higher. And we do not have a crystal ball. We don't know when that's going to happen. But I can tell you, if it stays down for a while when you're dollar cost averaging, it's the best thing you can do.
Oh, yeah. We have all these people who come in and they have millions of dollars in their 401k because they just put it in there and forgot it. And they went through all the bad times and that's how they got there.
Yeah. And that cup of coffee a day that we talk about all the time, it's real. It really does work. You don't have to make huge sacrifices to get the funds invested and doing well. You just need to make it a habit, make it a routine, ignore it, and don't let the market change what you're doing.
Yep.
If anything, load up.
Yep. Go against your gut instinct.
You know, we do quotes all the time. We talk about what great investors always say, and it's people make the most money in bear markets. You just don't realize it at the time.
Yep.
Buy those shares when they're cheap. It does make a difference. It truly does. And don't expect to change your why just because the market does. I know that sounds kind of simple, and it is. Mm-hmm. But if your why is to retire, then get that goal going and don't change it. But if you have extra cash, go ahead and invest it.
Yeah. Turbocharge it.
Yes.
When you can.
Yes. When the market's down, that's when you turbocharge it, right? Don't stop, even though your gut's telling you you may want to, as obviously you can hear the music and we do need to take a break. But when we come back, we are going to share some historical data to make you understand how quickly things change. One of the things that I thought was amazing is the first commercial airline flight was in 1914. The first jetliner was 1949. That was not that long ago. And there's a lot of other data that we have that we think would be fun to listen to. But again, give us a call. We'd love to talk with you or shoot us over an email. jstone@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Petso today. Happy fall almost. It wasn't the first day of fall last week?
Yep. 21st.
Perfect. Yeah, Tom.
Hey, look at that. Look at my voice.
I know.
I'm all good now.
It's all better.
The frog is gone. Ricola.
Oh, goodness. All right. Give us a call at 580-KIDO, 580-5436. And we're going to go into a couple tips on helping you reset. I guess reset your why and why you start investing to begin with and what you can do to continue doing so. But before that, we did want to share a couple things that I find really, really interesting about how quickly the market has grown. I was born in 1973. Have no problem saying that. And we did a couple of interesting data points from that time.
Yeah, so when you were born, the cost of a new home was $35,500. Today, to build a new home is $440,300.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
It is. But I think more than that is the income that people had at that time.
Median income was $10,512, and now it's $63,214.
But percentage of home purchase price versus income, it was much more affordable, obviously, back in 1973 than it is today.
Yeah. It was just like three times versus 12.
Wow. And you think about that, right? Great return on your money if you put it into a home in that time, and it grew up to almost $500,000. But also going into that is insurance, upkeep. By now, you had to put at least one roof on it.
Property taxes.
Yeah. Air conditioner, whatever else is coming into it. All the expenses to get that return.
Yeah. It's really interesting when you think about that, where we have that happen all the time. People sell a house and they go, yeah, my dad bought it in about this time for this, about this amount of money. And they're just like, look how much it is now that it really worked out for him. This is the only way they ever made any money. And you go, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But if you're making $10,512 to invest $35,500 or having that money is, would have been real difficult. But if you would have put in the S&P 500 and not had to put a new roof on it or air conditioner in the S&P 500, you would have $4.9 million.
Think about that just for a minute. $35,500 in 50 years grew to almost $5 million.
Yep.
And during that time, what happened that went well?
Yeah, thank you. You know, we're talking about inflation, interest rates. That goes right through the doldrums of the 70s and Carter and
high
the
inflation.
Big reset and the the biggest recession since the Depression at that time, 1981, 1987 crash, 9/11, 2008, 2009, $4.9 million.
And you did nothing.
Right.
You didn't have to show up at midnight and change any light bulbs. You didn't have to call a plumber. You didn't have to put on a roof. So when you think about the best investments and the best investors, nowhere in that time did Tom say, yeah, but I got out here and then I got back in and I did this and I did that and I timed it and I zigged and zagged. No, he bought and he held.
Right. And you buy your house in 1973. You didn't go to 1981 and go, the price of my house is down. I'm going to sell it. And then I'll rebuy when the house goes up.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, isn't it? And or, you know what? My house just got cut because, housing prices have come down recently quite substantially, and they're not selling really quickly either. So that tells you, too, that could you sell your house quickly if you wanted to or if you needed to? You sure can in the market.
Yeah, we have a client that has, 7-8 months? They've been waiting to sell their house.
Mm-hmm.
Which they thought would take weeks.
And it would have if they would have just got it on like a month sooner.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a timing thing on homes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So again, we're not trying to tell you that you shouldn't buy a home. Of course, if you need a place to live, but it's just comparing how easy it is to just invest and leave it alone.
Yep. If you can.
If you can. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And a car too. The funny thing about that, I think, is that a car is about would have cost about half of your 1 year income to buy a car in 1973.
$5,500 for a brand new car in 1973. Now it's $48,000.
And the average income now?
$63,214.
So as a percentage, income's not going up nearly as fast as the cost of stuff. Yeah.
Nope, not at all. And obviously, that's what we hear all the time is that's the big problem, right? Mm-hmm.
The one thing about it, though, and like Dave was talking about, too, those transfer payments do matter. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not counted in there. So people on the lower end in the rebates and things that they get.
Exactly. So the $63,214 is just earned income. It doesn't count, you know, earned income credits on people's taxes, stimulus payments, you know, all that stuff that's added in there. That people get money that they use to spend, but it's not counted as income. So that $63,214 is probably low.
Yeah.
Well, it is low.
But also, though, that leads right into what the state of Idaho is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, explain that, please.
So we have another rebate coming. If you haven't heard it, it hasn't been
I haven't heard much of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's September 1st. They had a special session of the legislature, and part of it was they cut taxes again. And now the individual tax rate is now down to 5.8%. And so, but along with that, they did a rebate. So we got a rebate for most of us got a rebate in the spring, and this is going to be another one. So you're going to be able to get, it's 10% of your 2020 tax liability on your state income tax.
Is it 2020 or 2021?
It's 2020.
Okay, but you had to be a resident. We found this out because
full year resident, and you. So you. So anyway, it isn't what you got as a refund. It isn't what you might have owed. I actually wrote a check for it. It's what your tax liability is. I don't have the tax the line item, but anyway, it's what your actual full liability was, and then you get 10% of that. And for but if someone is less than that for individual, they'll get $300. For a married couple, they'll get $600. But if that 10% is higher than that, then they'll get that.
Good, good. Yeah. No, I haven't heard much about it this time.
I know. It hasn't been. And this next week is when they're going to start doing direct deposits for people that direct deposited. So therefore, you're going to all of a sudden see money start showing up. And I'm sure people are going to go, why am I getting this? Especially when they start getting people that will get checks and they go, I have no idea why I got a check.
Yeah.
But this is for a reason. Now, there is a website. tax.idaho.gov/rebate. That's where you can go and check on your rebate. For this new one, the information isn't there yet, but check probably first week October and you'll probably see what you're getting and about when you should get it.
Perfect. And this is a second one, correct? So if you would have, you might check. Can you check to see if you accidentally threw away your check?
Yes. So that, what tax.idaho.gov/rebate. If you look at it right now, it will give you information on the one that was in the spring.
Good.
So if you did qualify for one and you did throw it away or whatever, then you can check on it.
Perfect. And how is this treated? I'm just curious for tax purposes federally. Is it taxable to you when you get the funds back?
Can be. Just like a tax refund, state income tax refund, if you itemize, then part of this or all of it could be taxable.
Okay, good. So now we covered our tax topic because Tom knows how much I love to talk taxes. But this one we felt was important to get out there. So if you see a check coming from the state, it's pretty obvious. They do definitely look like checks. So just make sure when you look at those, they come in those nice little envelopes that you have to fold the corners off of. Those are legitimate checks. So don't throw them away.
And it'll say rebate on the stub or whatever comes with it.
Good, good. Yeah, it's kind of interesting that coming out of a pandemic, this state was operating well enough that they can actually return money to the taxpayers.
Yeah. You know, they paid off all the state debt other than one debt, and they cut taxes. So in 2020, the income tax rate was 6.6% all in, and now it's 5.8. So, you know, I appreciate that.
I appreciate
that they have extra money and they say, hey, we're going to give it back to the people that paid it. Even though some of it came from all this other craziness from the COVID, they're giving back to the citizens, and that's who should get it.
Yeah, I agree completely. So, again, check if you work with a tax preparer and have questions. That's always a good question to check in with them on as well, just to make sure that you're covering everything.
Yep.
But that's it. We're not talking about taxes anymore tonight.
We're done.
All right. So, again, what we want to talk about, too, is some of the basics. Whenever times get rough, I feel it's important to go back to the basics. That's why I keep bringing it up. What was the reason you decided to invest? One of the questions we ask clients when they first come to see us is, what brought you in today? What made you decide today was the day you were going to come in and get guidance? So if you made the decision, and hopefully, and this is what a lot of people sometimes do, it wasn't just because you felt the fear of missing out. So the market has done very well the last 4 years, And we're hoping that wasn't the only reason you decided to invest, because if it is, then you're not going to stay on board during these times. It's impossible if the only reason you invest is because you see other people making money. There's got to be a goal with everything that you do. Anything, right? If you decide you're going to get healthier, or you're going to decide that you're going to run every day, if you're only doing it to compete, that may get you going initially, but you have to have a target that you're running to, or you're not going to get there.
Yep. And it is interesting how people can, well, just like health is the best analogy, because every January, everybody gets their memberships to the gym, and this is the year that they're going to do it, and they're going to get healthy, and they're going to live a different, it's all going to change. Mm-hmm. And then by March, you know, just became too cumbersome, and they missed a couple days, and they had that Big Mac when they didn't plan on it because they got behind. And then it's, we'll throw up our hands, and then next year we'll start all over again. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with finances. Well, we're going to be really good. We're going to watch our budget. We're going to do everything. And then something comes out of the blue, blows it all up. And then it's just, what the heck? There's no reason to keep trying to be disciplined. And discipline is the hardest thing for people.
It is the hardest thing in everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard it once said that everyone says, I'll start tomorrow. Well, tomorrow's not a day. So if Monday's the day that you decide you're not going to get upset about what the market's doing, but you're going to do something to be proactive, whether that means you're going to change what you're allocating to your 401k, bring it up a percent or two. If you got a raise or a bonus, add it in there. It will make a difference long term. But do something not to feel stuck. That doesn't mean change to cash. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is do something that will make a difference to you long term, not make you feel good short term.
Yep.
Okay. And also, if you say, you know, I need some more cash, if you don't have an emergency fund built up, you should. That should be something that you do too. Yes, we talk all the time that you don't want a lot of cash at negative interest rates. And when inflation is high, as it is, that means you're losing buying power every day that you have too much cash sitting there. What we're saying, though, is you have to have some. I like Tom's analogy that he uses, is you're insuring your income. If you don't have it, you have to have something there to replace your income.
You're insuring yourself against stuff that's going to happen, but you don't want to buy insurance for it, right? So car's going to break down. You're going to break down. Your house is going to break down. Kids are going to break down. You need to have cover those things. And that's what throws people off the most, right? Well, I was doing really good, and then we had to put a new transmission in the car, and then this happened and so forth. We know these things are going to happen. It isn't like Christmas is a surprise every year. It shouldn't be.
No.
So that's why we have a credit card bill from last Christmas.
Right. And if you want to go on vacation now that the world's opening back up again, pay for it, save for it, be ready to deal with it, and know that everything is going to cost more than you expected. So save a little bit extra so that when you go somewhere, you don't have to sit around in an Airbnb or whatever you decide to do and just watch the world go by. If you want to do things, know it's going to cost more. So save a bit more for that. Also, things always break. My daughters have been getting flat tires for some reason, and it seems like they have to drive on them a little longer than they should, so they can't just repair it. They have to get a new tire. And they're like, it's $100 or whatever for a tire. I can't afford a $100 tire. I'm like, well, if you'd have gone in and checked it when the check engine light was on, you could. So having those funds set aside, which thankfully both of my girls are good savers and they could afford to do it. They just don't want to, right? So those things are going to continue to happen. Tires, when there's construction around or whatever happens, it could cost money to get those replaced.
Yep. And it happens all the time. And it happens in a split second.
Mm-hmm.
One day we were at home doing everything fine. Next minute, the window's broken, right? Just things happen.
They do.
And then nowadays you get a window broken, it's with the cost of everything, it isn't $50 anymore.
It's not.
And if you're going to have someone install it, even more.
Because that's something you can do yourself, where really most of us can install Windows. Right?
Yeah, right.
All right, we're going to take a break. Please give us a call, 580-KIDO. I know it's probably enjoying the beautiful day, but we'd love to talk with you. 580-KIDO. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Petzo today. Again, phone calls, please. 580-KIDO, 580-5436. One thing that I wanted to add when we were talking about the state rebate is that would be funds to use to get invested or pay off debt.
Yep.
Because it's funds you weren't.
Found money. It's like money found in the couch.
Yeah, exactly. Because you weren't expecting those.
Nope.
So don't spend it on something and go, oh, yay, look, we got more money. Actually use those dollars to pay off something or invest it.
Yep. Yep. Don't just go, hey, we can really go blow this.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to just go to the phones real quick. Good morning, Terry.
Well, good morning, kids. How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Oh, just peachy keen.
Good. Can't complain.
To reiterate the truth that Jim spoke earlier, that you have to stay out of debt.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's very true. Our most successful investors that are the most peaceful when things happen are the ones that are out of debt, for sure.
It was young airmen figuring out that beer was expensive, and my moment for starting to invest. And beer was expensive, and then I looked at inflation and says, beer's going to be more expensive, so I better save a little money.
That's a good reason. See, there's your why. You want beer.
A lot of people would have just went to Costco and bought a whole bunch.
I don't know how much you can stockpile beer, though. Doesn't it go bad after a certain point?
Yeah. It loses a little bit of its zip. But, the building the emergency fund is I'm all this stuff that they want to teach in schools these days and whatnot, I'm still disappointed that they don't teach financial
basics. Literacy. Yep. Instead of the stock market game and doing all that. Yep.
I can't believe that they still do that stock market game.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you learn how to do a budget, that's and there you go back to the discipline thing you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You have your budget. You set it. And I used to take every promotion I got, and half of the money I would blow it just to have a good party and whatnot. But the other half went the investment fund.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And just poke everybody out there that's not got enough money. I just was late calling in because I had to go fire up my sauna because it seemed like a fine morning to have a nice steam.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is the things that you can get by getting a little discipline and saving a little money.
Yep. And delaying gratification for a while, right? You didn't get to have everything you wanted while you were saving money. You had to wait a little bit.
Oh yeah, heck no! I'm losing train of thought here, but yeah, that's basically wait for it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Be disciplined and wait for it.
Yep. Absolutely.
Anyway, thank you, kids. Have
You're
a
welcome.
Good day.
Thanks, Terry. You too.
Take care.
All right, yeah, that is important, right? If you have something that you want, like a sauna or a hot tub or any of those fun things that people like, don't buy it on financing. Tom and I were just talking actually before we started the show on those payment plans that they created. I think you see them on, I didn't know they were doing them at stores. That was new to me, but on Amazon, it's like if you want to buy something, you can make 4 equal payments of $20 and not have to pay it all up front. And it doesn't count against your credit because it's not going on a credit card and everything else. But again, do you really need something that you have to break into 4 payments?
Right, $80.
Right.
Yeah.
And it does it almost on everything because I think I bought dog food that was $30 or something and said, would you like to make equal payments? And I thought, really? I don't know that I should do that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of ways that is creating lack of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon's a big creator of people buying that instant buying of everything. We hear it all the time, right? Oh, I did so good, but then Amazon.
Yep.
It's, yeah, I don't know.
Exactly.
Guess it's a little easier at late night purchases.
Box with a smile showed up and everything went to hell.
Everything feels good.
You know, it's funny, on the flip side of that Dave Ramsey has built a $1 billion business on just these simple basic things, you know, and it's because it's so hard for people.
It right? is.
They
it
have
is.
To have a program to do it because they just can't get it to do it themselves. DIY money is hard to do.
Right. And same with this program, right? We feel very strongly that people should invest. It's a passion of ours. We sit around all the time and saying, if we could just get younger people to put a little bit of money away, if we could just get people to do something simple, they could all be independently wealthy. But we can't reach everyone personally. So this is how we try to do that too, is just getting people excited about it, thinking it's fun, watching it happen and work. Because if you did look at your account from the last 5 years, not just year to date, take that out of it and look longer, and you really looked at the returns, I think you would be surprised. I actually had a lot of people say, oh, well, that's not that bad. Mm-hmm. Or when you stretch it out, they go, really? I made that much during that time? So again, it's all perspective. We can always take segments of time and change it to doing what we want to see and fitting the objective that we see. And that's not what we want to do. We want to look at it and say, am I moving towards my goal? If I get income for life, isn't that what's most important?
Right.
Does price matter?
Right. And it doesn't.
Okay. Most companies raise their dividends this year.
I know. You know, it is funny. And you look at it from a society viewpoint, and you go, hey, if we could grow up a whole society of millionaires.
Wow.
What that would do for everything. You know, all this data from house prices, all this stuff, that would be incredible.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we're going to jump to the phones again. Mike?
Yes.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. What can we help you with?
So, Tom, you said that this refund we're getting back from the state can be taxable if you itemize. That makes no sense, because if I already paid that money in and they're giving me 10% of it back and they're going to tax it again, so that's double taxation.
No, it's not for it's not taxable by Idaho. It just, on the federal level, if you itemize, because you deduct your state income tax.
Oh, okay.
So as a deduction, it can cause part of that to be taxable. It's not going to be the same for everybody. Everybody's going to be different because of their situation. But if you itemize, it's a potential. It's not a given, and it definitely is not taxable on the state level.
The government always gets their cut.
Oh, they do.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
You bet, Mike. Have a great weekend. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you a couple more back to basic tips. Again, phone calls are always welcome. 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Petzo this morning. Wow, time goes so quick. We were just commenting.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like an hour and a half, and it's like it was 10 minutes ago.
There you go. Yep. And as always, we do have plenty of time for phone calls. 580-KIDO, 580-5436, or email jstone@petsofinancial.net. All right, we're going to do a couple more basics just because we feel it's very important. Like Terry mentioned, a lot of this stuff isn't covered in schools. We do meet with a lot of clients' kids just to try to get them started and understanding. Sometimes they're a little young to grasp it, but at least if you're building that foundation, they start to understand how important it is to save. I know Tom with his kids would say if you earn, you have to put X amount towards certain things, and they had to save some of it. My kids as well. So luckily they're big savers and not big spenders, so that's easier. But it is a hard thing to teach.
Yeah, and it's hard. And going back to the discipline, when you're between 13 and 18, discipline is not for most kids, is not a high priority.
No, it's not. And that new phone or Xbox or whatever is very appealing. It's interesting. I actually had a young man that was, his folks were giving him some money, and he said, you know, I just thought about it and thought, wow, it'd be nice to have a new Xbox. But yeah, that'd just be wasteful. So at least they're starting to think about it, which was nice. But one way to do this, though, is just automate things, right? So if you say we want to take a 10-year anniversary trip to Hawaii and it's going to cost 10 grand and you have a couple years to get there, start divide that up and start putting that money into your savings account. Yeah, it's actually, an envelope system, right?
Yeah. We're actually doing that next year. Our 30th is next year, and so is yours.
It is.
And we are going to go to Alaska on a cruise, so we've already figured it out, and we're putting away money every month into a account, and it'll be there, and we're already almost there already. So it's interesting when you start that kind of process, and you can turn it on every time, you know, for those kind of things, how much easier it gets when you've been successful doing it.
Yeah, it's kind of going back to that whole Dave Ramsey envelope system, but you do it automated now. It just goes into a different account or however you set it up. And, you know, paying in advance for a trip versus paying off a trip for years after you take it, I think it's much more rewarding to have the funds there to spend than to be like, oh, I'm still paying on that trip I took 5 years ago.
Yep, and you're a lot more prudent on your spending, right?
Right.
Because you're not just like, well, just another $500 for this, and we'll just upgrade to this, and we'll just do this, and that's another $15, and that's a $30.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon that $10,000 trip is $15,000.
Yes.
And you didn't have the $10,000, so the $5,000 isn't anywhere to be seen.
Yeah. So automate that. Automate that. Just take it out of your paycheck and move it to another account every month. Same with your investing. If you do a 401k, I don't care if they match you or not. That's always an excuse that people give. Well, I don't get a match, so why would I do it? The reason to invest is not just because people will give you additional money. The reason to invest is because you can take care of yourself when you get to retirement.
Exactly. And we see that over and over and over. The most successful people that invest are people with their 401k plans because they set it and forget it.
Absolutely. Yep.
And everyone. Don't forget it, though. Be very involved with it in that you're constantly trying to increase how much you're putting in. Then that just increases the energy of their account than just the same. So have a, like you were saying, you put another 1% or 2% maybe every year if you can.
Yeah. If you get that 1%, 2% raise, like Terry said, put half of it in the 401k and half of it goes into your spending because things cost more and we understand that. But if you can put a little bit more away, Again, 150 a month over 40 years grows to 1.2 million in the S&P. That's quite impressive, right? Yeah. So if you do just a little bit more, that other side will be even greater.
Right. And, you know, in our thing of that 35,500 in 1973, if you would have just put $50 more a month into it during that period of time, we don't have the information, but that 4.9 million would be a lot more.
Yeah, because that was a one-time lump sum investment. And as much as it's so hard to believe, if you start young, you can put away less and have more than mm-hmm. if you wait and put away a lot more.
Yep.
That last double is the one that's mm-hmm. so impressive, right? If you have $1 million and you have 10 more years, get that 7.2%. So, you know, the rule is 72, mm-hmm. sure. which we love. That would be $2 million. Yep. That's crazy when you think about it.
And you think about that means that you're staying in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
You're not disconnecting the plan and reconnecting the plan and disconnecting the plan and reconnecting the plan. You're just staying with the plan, good times and bad.
Yep. And we look at data all the time, and the average return on the S&P is 10. It is. I mean, you can look at it every which way you want, and that's where it goes. But if you miss just those 10 best days like Dave talks about and we talk about, your return is cut in half. 10 days in 20 years, and they always happen immediately after the worst days. So who knows? Next week, we could have an up week. I'm not calling for that because I have no idea and I have no crystal ball.
We hope that Dave says something on Monday.
Yes, something positive, Dave, to help with that. So, yeah, again, set a budget. Set those automatic investments. And budgeting is such a comfortable thing when you start to do it. It feels restrictive. So everybody calls it, a spending plan now or something like that?
Yep, spending plan is the
the
more,
new words.
Yeah.
Yep. But set that. As long as you're hitting the required budgeting tools of saving, investing, and paying your bills, then whatever's left, you can use for whatever you want.
And automate as much of your payments as you can, too. So that's the best way to make sure they're paid on time. You don't end up with stupid fees because they didn't get paid on time. Banks, in the amount of money that banks make on late fees is incredible. It's billions of dollars just because people can't pay on time.
And check those subscription agreements. I mean, seriously, there's so many things out there that you may have signed up for that just get automatically charged to your card. I know if it's only $10 a month, doesn't sound like anything, but $120 a year is real money. So look at those things. See what you're paying for everything. I did it myself personally here and realized that I can get everything I want on a streaming service that's a quarter of the cost of the prior service that we were getting. So I thought, well, I'm getting rid of it, right? Because there was no reason. Some of his streaming's a little bit slower or whatever, but you know what? It's tolerable. And also check your cell phones. The one thing that I can tell you is as everything is going up in cost, a lot of things that are very technology driven are coming down. You can get cell phone service that's a lot cheaper than you expect. There's rebates and there's offers from companies for you to move to them or do whatever. Just check it out, because if you're trying to save money, look and see what's out there. It could be a little bit of a hassle. Personally, I experienced it was a little bit of a hassle, but what I save is worth it. So check those things, because small dollars add up.
Yeah, maintenance agreements and so forth that you might have signed up for that you don't need. See what you can cancel, what you can modify. Look at everything. Reevaluate everything, because there's probably a lot of couch money out there that you're spending that you could be redirecting in something that is a lot more constructive as far as your finances.
Yeah. We saw a lot of people purchase large things during COVID too. RVs were the big one because they couldn't get out and do anything. Now, do you use it? Are you using it, or is it something that maybe you can get rid of?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of Peloton and all those kind of things. Everybody got into, they're going to be disciplined and work out. Now that they don't have to be in their house all the time, all of a sudden it just becomes a laundry rack, right?
Yep.
And so forth. So yeah, clean out and clean up. Get yourself on a better track.
Yep. All right. We're going to take our last break, but we do still have plenty of time for calls. So please give us a call at 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Come back. We're going to give you a couple questions you should ask if you want to start working with a financial advisor. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone, Tom Brown filling in for Dave Petzo today. Thank you, as always, for joining us on this beautiful Saturday.
That is awesome.
It is.
This is like the nicest day of the year right now.
Yep. Fall in Boise. Couldn't be better, right? All right. So a couple things that we think financial advisors should ask you when you're going in and trying to work with them. So we're just going to throw a few things out there and for you to actually ask yourself as well. Okay. So one of the main things is, what is your biggest financial concern? Again, that goes back to why are you investing? What's the objective? What is your concern? Someone should walk you through what we do as well and talk about objectives. And I know risk tolerance is a word that's thrown around a lot, but more or less it's goal-based investing. What is your goal and what do you need to invest in to try to reach to achieve that goal?
Right. And it really sometimes that's really easy to think about. Sometimes it really takes some time, especially if you're younger, trying to say, well, I want to retire when I'm
50 years
60,
from now. Right.
Right.
Before, what does that mean?
But the fundamentals are still the same. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to set an objective out there, and then it'll change over time. You don't have to set a plan and it just stays static. You want it to be something that's very fluid.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And when your income may be a little bit lower when you're first starting out, Roth IRAs, having tax-free forever money, is a really amazing opportunity. It truly is magic money. So if you have the opportunity to do Roth in a 401k, because usually they allow those options and can afford one on the outside too, do it.
Yeah, always take advantage. That's what people forget, is that they don't get really informed on what they have available.
Mm-hmm. And really think about who you are as a person and how you look at life. Are you an optimistic person naturally, or are you a pessimistic person naturally? What is your core feelings, I guess? Because if you're pessimistic, you definitely want to understand what you're investing in and really get it. Because then hopefully you can not really react when things go negative. Mm-hmm. And I know it's hard. There's such an influx of negativity constantly dripped on us. There's no way to get away from it. I mean, it's just really difficult. I know everybody says that we're more optimistic, and we are. You have to be to do what mm-hmm. we do. If we didn't believe fully that this worked and that people could become independently wealthy and staying the course and doing all the things that we talk about all the time, if we didn't truly believe it, it'd be very hard to do this.
Right. And when you're talking about finding an advisor, that's important, because if you're coming into an advisor that is selling you on negativity, that so forth, then that is something that you have to be cautious about. Is like going, is this really match up with where I'm going, mm-hmm. or am I buying into something that I'm being sold a line mm-hmm. instead of a plan?
Yeah, and right now it comes out. I mean, people do. If you can find something that answers that concern and you're so overwhelmed, the dinner seminars start to become more appealing when you get those postcards that say, hey, we're going to talk about how you can avoid market loss, or talk about these things that come out that you go, oh, maybe I should go. Maybe I should go hear this, because, you know, maybe they have that magic medicine to make this pain go away because you're feeling it so much. They really don't.
Right.
You're giving up something.
Right. And a lot of people talk themselves into it because, well, I just want to get more informed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just something I want to make sure that I get informed. And just remember, you're not getting informed many times. You're getting sold. Mm-hmm. So understand that these guys are master salesmen, and they're going to have a line to sell you something. They're not just to give you information.
Right. And those dinners are expensive. When they're taking you to really nice places mm-hmm. to eat, they're obviously expecting to get something in return to be able to afford to take 20 people mm-hmm. to a nice fancy dinner. So there's a reason they're doing this. Also, make sure that what they're doing meets your objective. We saw a situation where low tax bracket person, no real heirs. She was just taking a nice income and trying to manage that bracket. And they threw at her Roth conversions and doing some sort of life insurance trust and all these different things that she doesn't need because it doesn't fit her objective. But all of a sudden, they had her fearful of taxes. They had her fearful of what's she going to do with this and this. And she bought into things that really didn't fit her.
Mm-hmm.
So watch what you're doing and what you're selling, and just make sure that what they're saying fits you as a person and not just because it made you feel better.
And if you don't understand it, don't do it.
Right. And they should be more than willing to answer any question you throw at them. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't feel right, it normally isn't.
Right.
Right. I know right now you're saying, well, the market going down sure doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. And I get that, but that's not what we're saying. Don't buy into something that's not, you're not able to get out of.
Exactly.
Right. All right. Also, when you look at how do you make your financial decisions? Who do you talk to? Right. We look at ourselves as a third party, unbiased person. We don't live with you day to day. We don't help you make every decision. We are here to look at what you're deciding to do and see if it actually works. Had a conversation with a family the other day, and they're just so close to retirement. And of course, they want me to tell them, yeah, go for it. Do it. You're great shape. Everything's perfect. But I wasn't quite confident that it's the right decision. Is it better for me to tell them it is, because, you know, we can roll over their 401ks and we get more assets to invest and we can do all this for them? Or is the right answer, work a couple more years? You're almost there. Of course, they're not happy to hear that, but that's what we're supposed to do.
Right. And that's what they're paying. If they paid you just to tell them everything they wanted to hear, that's a thing to watch out for. If they're just telling, we got it covered. Everything's good. You'll never have a problem. Well, think through that a little bit. Ask more questions.
Yeah, because you know what? No one can have that magic formula, right? Mm-hmm. And we never promise or guarantee anything, and no one can. And everything we say on this show is our opinions and how we feel about the world and investing in the markets too. People look at it differently. Different mm-hmm. opinions aren't wrong. Just make sure that what they're saying fits you and mm-hmm. not gives you what you feel like you need at this moment in time when you just said you want to retire in 20 years, but right now you're nervous.
Yeah, and I had another couple that, going back to what we talked about before with Terry and Jim, had no debt. They've saved their whole life, and she was tired of working and wants to quit, and I looked at her numbers and I said, you can. It's fine. You have more than enough. And but they'd done it all the right way, right? It wasn't that they were reaching.
Right.
They've already made it to the mountaintop. They just didn't realize it yet.
Yeah. And that's a fun conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And we see that a lot. We have some really great disciplined savers. And sometimes we have to tell them the other side, right? Well, you should really spend a little bit more. Oh, no, we don't need anything. Okay, I know. You don't need anything. But what do you want to do? Well, one couple, I would really love to recarpet the house. And he looked at her like, we don't need money for that. And it's funny how simple that is, right? They didn't mm-hmm. want to travel the world. They could, but they didn't want to. She just wanted new carpet. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we do push people to take a little bit more and enjoy themselves, right? What are you saving for
right.
now that you've gotten there? What is the saving for?
Yeah, exactly. And that's you're right. We have that conversation all the time because you just don't save it up to look at a number.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a resource that you've built up to use. Mm-hmm. Don't now make it into this kind of ivory tower that you can't ever touch because you've built it up now. Mm-hmm. Now you've made it. So go to the next step.
Yeah. And that is a hard thing. When people talk about growing up and not as many clients as we used to have, unfortunately, because they've gotten a lot of them have passed away or are just very old, but they grew up with someone that was in the Great Depression and they saw how hard it was and how precious money is. And they just don't want to waste it. And to them, you buy only the necessities. You never do more than that. So Dave's analogy of being in a boat, right? You spend too much, you tip over. You don't spend any, you tip over. How do we find that balance? So if you've been saving forever and you're watching your dollar be worth less and less and things cost more and more and you're feeling it a little tighter and you do have money sitting over on the sideline, even though the market's down, maybe it's time to start an income. It's right. an okay thing to do if you just want, but $500 a month would sure help. Well, look at it and say, can we afford to do that?
Mm-hmm. They're not going to. At your funeral, it's not going to be a big balance sheet. They're going to go, here's what they finished with, mm-hmm. right? They're going to talk about all the great things he did and your family and all those things. So save that legacy of memories instead of a legacy of just building up something to give to your kids. I think we get caught up into that too a lot.
We do.
Leaving an inheritance and how we're going to help out our kids and so forth. I think we can help out our kids to just be good people and savers instead of giving them a bunch of money
that they spend very
mm-hmm.
quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that too, and if it's time to sit down and reevaluate and look at where you're at, this may be the time to do it. We feel that it's harder, more at work to look at things when, things are down a little bit. But what is the goal? What is the objective? And who are you working with to help you? So mm-hmm. if you sit around by yourself and you said, I'm a great investor until the market goes down and then you get nervous and sell out, well, maybe that's the time to recenter and just say, I need that unbiased person to help me review all this.
Mm-hmm. Just like in the health, right? I do really good, and then something happens, and I don't stay on the plan. Well, maybe you need a trainer
for
a while.
Right. So again, we're here for you. We'd love to talk with any of you if you have questions, concerns. The show, Dave, I believe, is back live next week. I think he's done traveling pretty much mm-hmm. for a bit now.
Yeah.
So we're very grateful for him and his expertise in keeping us calm during these times, because believe me, it does help to have someone who's been doing this for as long as he has recenter us too. So he'll be back next week welcoming questions. But in the meantime, if you have any, we're here as well. Thanks, Tom.
Yep.
Any big plans this weekend?
I'm going to council today.
Council? That's
Back home.
There you go, right? Those big expensive trips around.
Yep. We're going to go grouse hunting in council this afternoon. So.
Very good. Yep. That's a great time to do it. It should be beautiful. And of course, I'm sure you're taking Torin with you.
Yep.
Good. Yep,
definitely.
Good, good. Well, everyone, again, we hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to talking with you next time.